Welcome to the Deep Dive. We dig into interesting sources to pull out the most valuable insights for you. Today, we're jumping into this really dramatic story from ancient history. It's got twists, big reveals, and honestly, a pretty stunning moment of justice. We're focusing on one specific chapter from the Book of Esther, chapter 7, our goal: to unpack what happens, find the, you know, the timeless wisdom in it, and see how it speaks to us today. Things like courage, faith, justice. Okay, so let's paint the picture. It's the second banquet Queen Esther has thrown for the king. You can imagine the tension in the room, right? King Ahasuerus is intrigued, maybe a little impatient, and he asks her again, you know, what do you want, Esther? Ask me anything, even half the kingdom, which is huge. I mean, that's serious power, serious wealth he's offering. But Esther, she's not after that. Her request is way riskier, way more personal.
Oh, absolutely. This is the moment everything hinges on. You could almost hear her voice probably shaking a bit, but firm. She asks for her life. And she says, my people, revealing they've been sold to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Think about that vulnerability, accusing someone powerful right there. She even says, you know, if it was just slavery, she might have kept quiet. But this is annihilation. It's desperate, yeah, but also incredibly calculated.
And the king's reaction, predictably, perhaps, explosive. He's shocked, then just furious. He demands, Who would dare do such a thing? The tension must have been off the charts. Everyone looking at Esther. Yeah. Who's she going to name?
Exactly. And she doesn't pause. She points right at Haman. The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman, just like that. And Haman, the text says he was terrified. Instantly, his whole world just crumbles in that second. Exposed. The king is so angry he has to leave, storms out into the garden, leaves Haman trapped there with the queen.
Yeah, you can picture Haman just falling apart, begging Esther for his life. He knows it's over. And then the timing is just, wow. The king walks back in.
Yeah.
And he sees Haman basically falling onto the couch where Esther is.
Yeah. And the king just misinterprets it completely, or maybe doesn't misinterpret it. You know, maybe it's just the final straw.
Right, right. The perfect excuse. He thinks Haman's assaulting the queen.
And that seals it. But then comes this incredible irony. One of the attendants points out, almost casually, hey, you know those gallows Haman built for Mordecai? The really tall ones, like 75 feet high, meant for public humiliation, really shows his arrogance.
Yeah.
They're standing right there at Haman's house, and the king just says instantly, hang him on it.
Wow.
So Haman is executed on the very gallows he built for someone else. And the king finally calms down. It's a stark example of evil plans backfiring, isn't it?
That whole sequence is just incredibly dramatic. Haman's fall, Esther's courage. But let's dig into the wisdom here. Okay, let's unpack this because there are layers that really apply to us now.
Definitely. The first thing that jumps out is Esther's, well, let's call it strategic vulnerability. She had this incredibly dangerous access to the king, right, as queen. But she didn't just burst in. She planned two banquets. She set the stage. Her courage wasn't impulsive. It was carefully thought out. She used her unique position, not for herself, but for her people.
That timing, it feels really important. Why not just tell him immediately? Why the wait?
Good question. Waiting built the context, I think. Made the reveal more powerful. Rushing might have seemed, I don't know, emotional. Less credible. By preparing, by inviting him twice, she created the perfect moment for impact. It shows that courage often needs patience, wisdom, knowing when and how to act, especially when you're dealing with power.
So it's not just about being brave, but being smart about how you're brave, which leads to this idea of justice. Haman seemed unstoppable for a while.
Right. And that brings us to the inevitable unraveling. Haman had power, favor. He built this whole scheme, but it all fell apart in a day. And notice how it fell apart. The gallows he built, that became his end. It just shows how power built on lies, well, it kind of eats itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It has that built-in instability.
So justice might take time, but it surfaces, often using the wrongdoer's own tools against them. It's not just fate. It's like the structure itself is flawed.
Exactly. The truth comes out eventually. And that's a message for us, right? Don't just stand by when you see injustice. Esther could have stayed safe, hidden in the palace, but she stepped up, even though it was dangerous. We need that kind of moral courage today in our own spheres. Even when injustice seems entrenched, its foundation is shaky.
And Esther herself, her own identity was hidden for so long. That plays a big role too, doesn't it?
It really does. Let's call it hidden faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Her Jewish identity was secret, strategic, not deceitful. But when she did reveal it, at that exact moment, it wasn't just a fact reveal. It showed her integrity, her courage, and it was key to saving her people. It connects to that idea of being ready for the moment. You know that phrase, for such a time as this. Sometimes we're put in a place, a position, And when the moment comes, we need to be ready to act, using all of who we are, faithfully, clearly.
Like your background, your experiences, even the hidden parts. They might be exactly what's needed. And her position itself, being queen, that influence was crucial. How does that speak to us?
Yeah, it highlights influence for the collective good. She had the king's ear, a rare thing. But she used it selflessly, risked everything for others, not for more power or status for herself. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Right.
What influence do you have? Maybe it's not royalty. Maybe it's your voice at work, in your community, online, in your family. Even small influence can be used to protect people, lift them up, speak for them, looking beyond just our own needs.
Okay, so pulling this all together,
mm-hmm.
What does this story teach us about strengthening our trust, our relationship with God, or something bigger? There's courage, strategy, yes, but underneath, trust seems huge.
Absolutely fundamental. It really underscores relinquishing control and trusting the outcome. Esther took this massive risk. She had no guarantee how the king would react. He could have had her killed, but she moved forward anyway, based on faith in her cause, faith in something beyond her control. So when we act courageously, wisely, doing what's right, we can then, you know, leave the results in God's hands. Trust the process. It's about believing that God sees, that God works, even when we can't see the ending. Acting in faith and letting go of the need to dictate every outcome, that really builds trust.
So Esther 7, it's more than just history. It's a moment where secrets come out, justice arrives unexpectedly. It's really a call for us to be brave, but also wise, to step out in faith when needed. So if you're maybe facing a tough situation, afraid to speak up or act, think about Esther. Her story shows that faithful courage really can change things, even when it looks impossible. Which leaves us with a question for you. How will you apply this information in your life?